Welcome to What I Learned in History Class, the podcast that takes you on a journey throughout time to uncover fascinating stories and insights from the past. Join us as we explore events, people, and ideas that shaped our world and continue to leave an influence on us today. Whether you're a history buff or simply just curious about the world around you, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and get ready to learn something new. Let's dive into history together. I'm your host, Ben.
And I'm your co-host, Abel.
Yeah.
Today we'll be discussing Chapter 24 of Give Me Liberty, An American History by Eric Foner. We will also discuss the 1950s after World War II, including the growth of suburbs, the beginning of interstate highways, the impact of television, the origin of the teenagers, and how it has an impact on modern society and civil rights movements. Finally, we will conclude with a thorough review of the movie Till, produced by director Chinonye Achikwu and written by Keith Buchamp.
Yo, Abel, you heard of suburbia?
Nah, what's that, bro?
You for really don't know William Levy, bro?
Nah, bro, who that?
Bro, that's suburbia's pops, bro.
What you mean, bro? That's your homeboy or something?
Nah, bro, that's the father of suburbia.
So why do they call William Levy the father of suburbia?
Alright, bro, let me tell you real quick. After World War II, American soldiers who had served abroad came home with the intention of settling down, starting families, and living the American dream. Young families tried to find a cozy, clean, and safe home in search of a safe and comfortable living space. William Levitt, a recently discharged soldier, discussed this idea with his father, Abraham Levitt, a builder of homes for wealthy New Yorkers.
William convinced his father to purchase 4,000 acres of land on Long Island, which would later grow to become the largest private housing development in the country at the time. Before we see his master plan of housing projects, let's take a look at his greatest resource, the GI Bill. The GI Bill allowed World War II veterans the opportunity to pay for college, unemployment insurance, and finally housing, which Levitt used to start his housing development. This provided funding for soldiers to start buying homes.
Yeah, when William Levitt started on his American dream, we see he dove into the vast opportunity of real estate. He built his first Levittown in 1947 on acres upon acres of potato fields across Long Island. The basic Levitt Cape Cod sold for $7,990. Later, an expanded ranch-style house sold for $9,500. There was no down payment, no closing costs, and no secret cost. Veterans who signed up for the first Levitt house had to put down a $100 deposit, which they eventually got back. Levy also included appliances such as TVs, washing machines, and his homes for free. These houses eventually developed into neighborhoods, creating the modern suburban complexes that we see today. Bro, how did people get into these neighborhoods anyway?
Bro, I got you. On June 26, 1956, the Federal Aid Highway Act by the Senate and President Eisenhower was passed, which created interstate highways all around the country. The highways increased urbanization by connecting cities all across America, becoming the link for interstate commerce to this day. One of Eisenhower's main reasons for this act was the highways to be created as a defense mechanism for troops to be able to move across the country in case of an attack. Now we see the impact it had on our day-to-day lives. Even though our interstate and highways are all very confusing at times, it would have been very much harder to travel without them. These newly built highways also led to an impact of economical benefits for America. According to research by the FWHA from 1950 to 1989, approximately one quarter of the nation's productivity increase is attributable to increased investment in the highway system. We see growth in the national market because of transportation between regions. Nowadays, interstate highways are filled with commercial drivers, workers from different areas, teenagers doing dumb stuff, and finally—
Wait, hold up, bro. Where did teenagers come from?
Good question, bro. The expression teenager was originally used in the United States by advertising executives aiming to promote their goods to a younger audience in the mid-1950s. The notion of a separate youth culture emerged in the 1920s, but young Americans were expected to forego any frivolous hobbies or wasteful expenditure for the benefit of the nation's well-being throughout the Great Depression and World War II.
What?
What?
Bro, what are you talking about, man? Bro, I'm out, man.
In other words, people were trying to sell their products to us teens, so they came up with the term teenagers as a distinct marketing tactic toward the youth. But we weren't allowed to do anything dumb or stupid, so we wouldn't make our nation look even dumber.
Let me guess, bro. We did the complete opposite, didn't we?
Not really.
Bro, you for real talking about rock music right now, bro?
Yes, sir.
During the 1950s, rock music was a big part of teen culture. Rebellion from parents led to a culture shock of rock and roll, as well as youth television programs marketed with strategic planning. Hold up, bro. Alright, there you go. While older generations attempted to stop juvenile misbehavior by closing down dances, restricting rock and roll music, and penalizing teens for breaking a variety of regulations, such as chewing gum during class time or being disrespectful toward classmates, teachers, or parents, the disapproval of teenagers causes significant divisions in culture for the community as never seen before. We see these students also went to segregated schools. Isn't that right?
Yeah, man. In fact, these kids played a big role in the civil rights movement during the 50s.
Not gonna lie, bro. Let's go into depth about that after this short ad.
Wait, what about the television?
Shoot, bro. I forgot, bro. I need a break, man. Turn up the rock and roll.
To do it once more, this time from It's So Tasty Too.
It's So Tasty Too.
That's right. Yes,
sir. It's So Tasty Too. Just like candy. You know, this stuff tastes pretty good once you get used to it.
Bro, what are you doing?
What you mean, bro? I'm just watching something good on the TV.
Yeah, you're right about the old part.
Bro, stop dissing on I Love Lucy, man. If it wasn't for shows like this, entertainment would have never been the same, bro.
Damn, I guess you're right. Ever since this show dropped, all the family started buying televisions to catch up on the latest episodes.
Yeah, for real, bro. In 1950, approximately 9% of American households had TVs. By 1959, that proportion had risen to 85.9%. The programming that would have been shown on television would have mirrored the preferences among a growing and diverse audience. The American entertainment industry was also altered by television. There was a sharp decline in book and movie sales in communities where television was introduced. In the 1950s, radio, which had previously been America's preferred at-home entertainment medium, lost popularity. Variety, comedic, and dramatic shows moved to television from radio airways.
Talking about radios, turn up that one song you were playing.
Bro, you talking about that Lil Baby?
Protests and growing national outcries continue over the death of George Floyd.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here,
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Officers arrested.
Straight black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
Damn, this song really relates to the civil rights movements from the 1950s. We can see the outcome that many of the civil rights activists fought for, showing that everything shouldn't be about race.
Yeah, you're right, bro. Martin Luther King Jr. had a big role in the civil rights movement as well. He started off as a pastor in Alabama in a town called Montgomery, and he held rallies in his own church. Even though he's only held peaceful protests, he was targeted by many people. He was arrested, and people bombed his house during the boycotts of the buses with Rosa Parks.
It's crazy how separated everyone was back then. It's really sad to see people not being able to treat everyone the same way they wanted to be treated. Segregation is so stupid.
Oh God, bro, that's what I'm saying. Wait, wasn't Plessy vs. Ferguson about segregation too?
Yeah, bro, that was so crazy. Tell him about it.
Alright, so basically, Plessy vs. Ferguson is a little backstory to one of the most important cases for the civil rights movement. After Reconstruction, the Southern states passed some laws making segregation necessary for public places such as schools, and this was also known as separate but equal. Basically, this was a pretense of what was going to be brought up in the future.
Dude, you're right. Wasn't this used during the Brown versus Board of Education during 1954?
Yeah, man. Thurgood Marshall was the one who would later become the first black Supreme Court justice, and he argued for the case of NAACP. They overturned Plessy v. Ferguson and finally ended segregation of public schools. This is also one of the key turning points in the Civil Rights Movement.
Bro, I completely forgot about Emmett Till.
Emmett who?
Dude, listen to this story, bro. So basically, there was this 14-year-old boy who was visiting his family in Mississippi. When he and his family went shopping at a grocery store, he flirted with a 21-year-old white woman, but the consequence of his actions cost him his life.
Oh my gosh, bro, I remember that. Her husband was the one who kidnapped the boy, took out one of his eyes, and shot him to the head. He wasn't even finished, though. He tied a 70-pound weight to his neck, but not even with rope, bro. He tied him with barbed wire and threw him in a river.
Dude, that's so messed up. Wait, didn't they make a movie about that?
Yeah, bro, it's called Till.
Let's take a look at that movie then. Till is a very recent display released in 2022 of the injustice faced during the 1950s with the problem of segregation and his mother's attempt at getting justice for her child. This movie was directed by Chinoye Chukwu and also written by Michael Riley and Keith Buchan. Emmett Till was played by Jalen Hall and Mommy Till Mobley was played by Danielle Deadwiler. The film shows the life of Emmett Till, a young boy from Chicago who travels to Mississippi to spend the summer with his relatives. Although his mother, Mommy Till, warned him about the dangers of racism in the South, Emmett finds himself in trouble with the local white community after allegedly whistling at a white woman named Carolyn Bryant. This perceived disrespect sets off a chain of events that leads to Emmett being brutally beaten and killed by a group of white men. The murder and subsequent trial became a national news story, with Emmett's mother, Mommy Till, boldly seeking justice for her son and refusing to let his death be forgotten.
Yeah, Emmett's character is portrayed throughout the film as a vibrant and curious young boy, full of potential and innocence. We also see the horrifying racism and violence that existed in the segregated South, as well as the courageous actions of the civil rights leaders and activists fighting for justice. The impact of racial violence and the fight for justice in America are powerfully and emotionally explored in the movie. It draws attention to Emmett Till's lasting influence, whose death sparked a strong motivation in the civil rights movement and continues to serve as a symbol of the ongoing struggle for racial equality.
This movie is a great watch for those who would love to learn about American civil rights history and for those who love historical drama films. And that's a wrap for today's episode of What I Learned in History Class.
Thanks for joining us in a quick little talk over the 1950s and how it had one of the biggest impacts on our society today.
Hope y'all enjoyed and stay tuned for the next one.